I'm very happy to see you all here as you celebrate this Mass as part of your novena in preparation for Christmas. On behalf of Father Farrell, my assistant, and also Deacon Andy Usera, I welcome you here to Our Lady of Hope, particularly those of you who are visiting from other parishes in our diocese. This is the octave before Christmas, so it's always that very special time of preparation. Recall yesterday we heard of how Mary had gone to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was expecting John the Baptist, the last great prophet who'd prepare the way for the Messiah. At that encounter, Elizabeth is filled with joy. Even little John the Baptist in her womb leaps for joy at the presence of the Savior, Jesus, who's in the womb of Mary. And now in our Gospel today, Mary gives this beautiful hymn of praise, proclaiming the greatness of God. This hymn really is one of joyful hope that all of us should take to heart. I think to appreciate it, we almost have to work backwards, because at the end, Mary talks about how that God has remembered the promise he made to his fathers, to our fathers, to Abraham and his children. So we think back 1,800 years before the birth of our Lord to that time of Abraham. God called Abraham. He said, "Abraham, I will be your God. You will worship me as the one true God. I will give you land, children, prosperity, and you will worship me." That's the covenant, a covenant of life and love. God was always faithful to his covenant. God always remembered that covenant. Even though as time went on and the Jewish people sinned, even broke the commandments, forgot the covenant, worshiped false gods, God still was always faithful. And the faithful people had hope that God would remember that covenant. For this reason, the prophets foretold that the Messiah would come to free them, not only from the slavery of sin, but from the oppressions of this world, that God would bring about a perfect new covenant. And so Isaiah even prophesied that the virgin will be with child and bear a son, and he shall be known as Emmanuel, God who is with us. That is Jesus. So God is faithful to his covenant. We see this now unfolding. Mary has conceived our Lord. Jesus has come into this world. True God has become true man. The Messiah is about to be born at Christmas. But we go on. This Messiah will bring about justice. And so Mary says that he will show the strength of his arm. He will scatter the proud in their conceit, cast down the mighty from their thrones. He will send away the rich. So all those people who really have had this idolatry in their lives, be it power, might, position, possessions, whatever it may be, justice will come. God will show his justice. But in his mercy, he'll also bring up those, as Mary says, who are the lowly, who are the hungry. They'll be filled with good things. He'll come to the help of his servants. And so we have then the promise of justice. So my brothers and sisters, as we think about this then, we know God is faithful. He's given us our Savior. Jesus, who is true God, became true man. Jesus has made the perfect covenant through his passion, death, and resurrection. And Jesus promises justice and mercy. We know in our world today that at times we may find ourselves in unjust situations. Things don't seem right. There are those who have the new false idolatry. Nevertheless, justice will be done. Maybe not here in our lives, but in the kingdom yet to come. God will make things right. He is faithful to his covenant. He is faithful to those who believe. But then there's the last part, and this is important for us, that Mary says, "It's my soul that proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Another way to translate this from the Latin text of the Gospel would be, "My soul magnifies the Lord." So Mary was the witness of this. But think of that magnification. Well, it's not in the sense of magnifying God, like making God bigger. We can't do that. When we think of God being like omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, infinite, and so on, well, we can't make God bigger than he is. But think of it almost like an intensity. When I was about 8 years old, I remember for my birthday, I received as one of my presents a magnifying glass. And it was really cool, because with a magnifying glass, you could look at bugs and they become bigger. Or you could take the rays of the sun, they become intensified, and you can burn a piece of paper. Well, in a sense, that's what Mary's doing. Her soul magnified the Lord. So all the greatness of God became intensified, became focused in her own life. And that's our goal too, that we who are faithful to the covenant, who trust in the promises of Almighty God, who really believe that our Lord has conquered suffering, sin, and death, we're called to magnify him in our very lives, to make him present. And so as we think about this tradition then, and we look at this beautiful passage, then we are called to be like that lantern, aren't we? To be that light shining in the darkness, that even though we may face injustice in this world, we can see what is wrong in this world, we're called to be that light that penetrates the darkness. And we're called to be not only faithful as individuals, faithful as a church. And that's really the symbolism of the rites, that yes, each of us individually needs to be that light, to magnify the Lord, but together as a church, we're called to be that faithful witness. Just remember, especially at this Christmas time, Christ founded a church to carry on his mission. And ever since then, for almost 2,000 years now, the church has carried on the mission of Christ. How beautiful that is. Even though personally we may be frail due to our own sinfulness, the church continues on the mission of the Christ. The church is still here, despite, at times, persecution, heresy, schism, our personal frailty. The church carries on the mission. So it's that idea of the rites. Individually, we magnify together as part of a church. The whole church magnifies the greatness of the Lord. And so with that, then, we are called to bear fruit, to show the fruit of our lives, those good works. Mary says, "The Lord has done great things for me." But we could also translate, "through me," that the Lord has done great things through her for us. And we're called to do great things for our Lord. Not great in the sense of a worldly great, but just living our vocation. Being the best Christian witness that we can be. That's the greatness that we're called to do, to allow the Lord to do through our very lives. And with that, we're like the flowers, to do them with great joy, to be a joyful Christian, a joyful witness in this world. That's the beauty of the saints. They're like the flowers of God in heaven. You and I need to have that same attitude, to be those flowers, to live our faith with great joy. And so, my brothers and sisters, we rejoice this day of our octave, this day of the novena. Let us truly take to heart, then, the beautiful example of our Blessed Mother. May our souls magnify the greatness of God. May God bless you.